Now we're holding on page 62 in Chagiga, third line, middle of Isiyot. We were learning yesterday about the malachim that are created and how from them comes Nahau Dinur, where we said in particular there are huge cohorts of malachim that become the fire of Nahau Dinur, that river of fire that we said that comes from before Hashem's throne, Kavyachol, and then pours down on the heads of the Rishonim and Gehenim. So now continuing on that topic, Amalei Shmuel L'chia Barav, L'chia Barav. Shmuel says to Chia, the son of Rav. Now Rav, of course, was Shmuel's great colleague. He was older and great, and then he was older than Shmuel, and Shmuel showed him great respect for that and for his Torah. So now you have Chia Barav. So he tells him, Bar Iria, or in the Gemara, it's Uriah, son of Torah, meaning your father embodied the Torah, you're his son. So I want to tell you, Ta'emalach Milsa, I want to tell you something, Mehani Milya Malyasa, Gehava Omar Avucha, that your father used to say. There's this great statement in Torah that your father said, you may not know of it, I want you to know it, because after all, you're his son. Rav Shuda Gaon tells us in his Igeres that Shmuel outlived, or we know from the Gemara, that Shmuel outlived Rav. Shruta tells us in the Igeres that he outlived him by 7 years. We have all over the Gemara. For example, we have Rav Yehuda was to begin with a Talmud of Rav and then became a Talmud of Shmuel. We have many other examples where we see that Shmuel continued on Rav's work. So he says, Kol yom v'yom nivroi malachei asharis minahar dinur. Every day malachei asharis are created from this river of fire. V'omim shira, and they say shira to Hashem, over tailing, and then they become bottle, and they disappear. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, chadoshim labakorim, new ones every morning, that means every morning there are new malachim who are going to be singing shira. Rabba amunasecha, your faithfulness, Hashem, is great. Meaning, Marashah says, we know Hashem renews amachadish v'tuva b'cholim tovim ma'isadeshis, and the fact that malachim are created every day helps strengthen our amunah in that the same way as malachim are created every day, the same way the whole world at large is recreated every day. As we learned yesterday in Tosfos, that's what we talk about in davening, two different groups of malachim. You have these evanescent malachim, the ones that come and go very quickly, and then we have the one, they disappear right away, and then the ones Vashem Ashosim, call them Omnim, Rumolam, the permanent Malachim, who stand in the heights of the world, and they're constantly there, and they sing Shira every day. The Gemara points out, This that Rav had said and Shmuel quoted to Rav's son, we were saying that these Malachi Asharis are created from Nahar Dinur or Pligad Rav Shmuel Ban Achmeni. It disagrees with how Rav Shmuel Ban Achmeni puts it. The Amr Rav Shmuel Ban Achmeni, Amr Rav Yonasan, called Dibur V'Dibur Sheyotzim V'Piyah Kodesh Baruch Hu, every utterance, every word that comes out of Hashem's mouth, Nivrim Men Malach Echad, a Malach is created from it. Shenemar, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, with the word of Hashem, the heavens were created, over Ruach Piv, and with the breath of his mouth, Kol Tzvam, all of their hosts were created. So Marashah points out the simple meaning of all the hosts would be the stars and the planets and whatnot, but since instead it uses the expression Ruach Piv, then we're given to understand that here we're talking about Ruach Nistika hosts, and therefore that we're talking about these Malachim that are created and then disappear. And Marashah points out that Rav Shmuel Ban Achmeni also has to use the Pasuk Chadoshim Labakarim, otherwise how would we know that these Malachim come and go, that these malachim are created and sing shira and disappear, necessarily he needs to be using that part of the Jerusha as well. So he's not really arguing with Rav on the essential point that there are malachim created every day and sing shira and then vanish, but he's arguing where they come from. Rav says they come from Nahar Dinur, and Rav Shmuel Ban Achmeni is saying they come, so to speak, from the breath of Hashem's mouth. Okay. Talking further about We started talking about different places where the Nevi'im describe their visions of Hashem and of the Merkava and so on and so forth, and there seem to be contradictions between them, and we've been working on resolving them. So here's another one. Now you have Daniel, we mentioned before, and we're going to go into a little more detail now, that Daniel also has at one point of a vision of Hashem and his retinue of Malachim. We learned yesterday about the million and 100 million Malachim that serve him, and then how Dinur. So here's more detail. Kosev HaKadoyim. Remember one pasuk in Daniel says that he saw Hashem sitting for judgment, levushei kislag chiver. His garments were like white, like the whiteness of snow. Osa'ar reshe ka'amar nekei, and the hair of his head, kav yachol, is like clean wool. So in other words, Hashem is, so to speak, appearing as an aged person. On the other hand, you have a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Roshe Kesem Paz. Remember, Hashem's head, so to speak, is like an ornament of beautiful gold. Paz is a very high quality of gold. And then it describes, so to speak, his hair, which is black like a raven. Now, obviously, Hashem has no goof. So, as Rabbi Hanano points out over here, and the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, all of this is meant to show precisely the point that Hashem has no goof, and all it is each navi and each one is seeing him in his own way, the way that Hashem chooses to have himself perceived as is appropriate. But so, what is it? Does Hashem appear as an old person, kavyachol, or as a young one? So the answer is like Kasha, kan yeshiva, kan b'mochama. Depends when Hashem is sitting, for example, for judgment, versus going to war. And in fact, the context of the respective psukim are talking about that Daniel's depicting Hashem sitting on his throne to judge. He has the whole vision over there of the four terrifying beasts that represent the Arba Malchus, Babel, Paras Madai, the Yavon, and then Edom, and how Hashem is going to judge and punish and destroy them. And on the other hand, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Roshe Kesem Paz, the whole Shemos of Shir Hashirim is talking on the whole, is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then by Kriyas Yamsuf in particular, Hashem Kavyachol appeared as a warrior, Hashem Mishmochama, and a warrior is young. So that's why one time he's depicted as, so to speak, old and white-haired, and the other time as raven-haired. The whole thing with the description of his clothes snow white and his hair like white wool, there's explanations in the Zohar and in Sifrei Kabbalah and in Sifrei Chassidus that white represents Chesed, and so it represents that Hashem is, so to speak, donning his garments of Chesed. He's Maslavish in the middle of Chesed to do this judgment, whereas by Kriyas Yamsuf it was more in the mode of Gvura, which is represented by black. So yeah. So to Amamar, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Eimachanav Yeshiva Elazakin, the ideal for Yeshiva is when sitting to teach Torah, or in this case to judge, is an old person. He has more experience. So therefore, so you want ideally an old person for that purpose, and therefore Hashem reveals himself to Daniel in that imagery. And on the other hand, when it comes to Mohammed, the best is a young man who's strong, and therefore Hashem shows himself in that imagery. Hashem is Mohammed, that's what we're saying. Okay. Now you have another seeming contradiction in the positive, and here it's between two parts of Daniel's own description. One part of Daniel's description, he says that Hashem's throne is of flames of fire, Galgiluhi Nurdalik, and the wheels of it, again, like Yechezkel saw the Merkava that has wheels, but Daniel also, so to speak, sees Hashem's throne as being on wheels. Nurdalik is blazing fire. So the implication, Korsiye, means his throne, so one throne. But then a couple of psukim later, he says, or actually earlier in the same passage, he says, Adi Chorsav von Remiv, until thrones are set up, the Atik Yomin Yisiv, and Atik Yomin Hashem, the Ancient of Days, this is where we get the expression Atik in Kabbalah, that means Pnimis Rotsan Elyon, Yisiv sat down. So what is it? Are there one throne or two? Now, the Mephoshim on Pasuk bring over there from a Medrash that understands that the word Karsavan means thrones, but the word Remiv can mean set up. It can also mean thrown down. You have in the Gemara, for example, the word Roma, Resh Mem Aleph, the same Aramaic word, can mean to set down, like on a table, and it can also mean to throw. So the Mephoshim bring there, and some of them bring from a Medrash, that it refers to the thrones of these four Malchus, that Hashem is going to overthrow them and then bring them to judgment. So according to that, obviously, there's no question. Hashem has one throne, and the four Malchus have many thrones between them, and Hashem is going to overthrow them all. But here, the Gemara is taking Remiv in the sense of set up, implying that this throne is being set up and Hashem sits on it. Well, Hashem doesn't need two thrones. Now, that's according to Rashi, that's what the question is. Marsha gives an explanation that no, that's not really the question, because why does the Gemara then need to bring a contradiction between the two parts of the pasuk? And if you didn't have Daniel mentioning the throne, you could ask to begin with, why are there two thrones for Hashem? So no, what he says is the word karsavon, the vav and nun at the end of the word, often mean a smaller version of something. For example, in Lashon Kodesh, we have the word ishoin, shamreni ki ishoin bas oyin. Ishoin literally means a small man, means the pupil of the eye. When you look in somebody's eye, you see a reflection of yourself in miniature. So the word vav nun, a lot of times at the end of a word in Lashon Kodesh, means a small version. So karsavon then suggests a smaller version of the throne. So what's going on over here? Hashem has his throne. What does he need? A smaller version of the throne there as well. So the answer is like Kasha Echad Loiva Echad B'Dov. So the answer is the two thrones, according to Marasha, the big throne and the small one, is for Hashem and for David respectively. Meaning, Marasha explains, the context is, again, that Hashem is talking about, that Daniel was talking about in this vision, how he sees these four great beasts and how Hashem is going to bring them to judgment. So now, and the psukim after that, after it describes how they're going to be judged, and the fourth one in particular is going to be utterly destroyed, representing Edom, and the other three are given a little while longer to survive, then he starts describing how Ba'ruim Ananishmaya, with the clouds of heaven, Mashiach is coming. So Mashiach is from David, therefore Hashem is setting up a throne over here for David to sit by there, so to speak, and watch as Hashem judges and punishes these beasts and the nations that they represent. So Kidatanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Echad Loiv Echad L'David Divrei Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva says the two thrones are one for Hashem and one for David. Amalot of Yosef Lili, but Rav Yosef Lili says, how could he say such a thing? Akiva, Admosi Ata Oisa Shechina Chol. How long are you going to make the Shechina mundane? You're putting a boss of Adam, David HaMelech, on the same level as Hashem, and saying they're going to sit one next to the other. Ella, now, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? So Ben Yehoyada points out, listen, I mean, I'll pick Kabbalah, it's a lot easier to understand. David is the fourth leg of the Merkava. It talks about in the Zohar, you have three Avos and David. David in particular represents the Sphira of Malchus, and in that sense, and after all the Spheres, at least at the level of Atzilus, so and therefore, it's not a problem to speak. We're not talking about the flesh and blood, David HaMelech, we're talking about the Sphira of Malchus that he represents. Rav Yossi's problem with that is either because he didn't know that particular level of Kabbalah, or because he's concerned that Rav Akiva, the way Rav Akiva is phrasing it, might be misunderstood. People might think that a boss of Adam actually belongs there next to Hashem. Anyway, so Ella, rather, Rav Yossi really says the two thrones, or the big throne and the small throne, Echad the Din ve Echad the Tzedakah. One is for Hashem's justice, and the other one for Hashem's tzedakah. Namely, there's going to be judgment and punishment for the Rishoyim, and there's going to be tzedakah for the Jewish people. So in other words, Maharsha says the metaphor then is, so to speak, Hashem first sits on the one throne to judge, just like we have by Tzkiyas Shofar. The Medrash has the expression that Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is sitting on Kisei Din, and then when we blow Shofar, Hashem gets up from there, Kabyachol, and sits on Kisei Rachamim, and then judges us favorably, the same way over here. First Hashem is going to sit on the Kisei Din, and then he's going to sit on the Kisei Tzedakah and do Tzedakah for the Jewish people. Okay. Well, the question is, Kibla, and by the way, this that we're saying over here, that Rabbi Yosef really is objecting, how can you make the Shechina Chol, how can you put the Shechina on the same level as David HaMelech, even though Rabbi Akiva, and we're saying that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind as a result of it, as the Gemara is going to say, we have an echo of that in Halacha, actually. In the Nusach of Benching, we add in the third bracha, Rachim Hashem Alekeinu, Al Yisrael Amecha, Al Yushalayim Yerecha, etc., we mention our Malchus based David Meshechecha, we do not mention Hashem's kingship over there. Why not? Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, because you don't put Hashem's kingship together with the kingship of a boss of Adam, even if he's David HaMelech. In fact, it goes on to explain in Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Oimim, that for that reason, when you're saying Yalav Yavri in that bracha, that you shouldn't add Melech. You should say Kikeo Chanun Barachim Ata and leave out the word Melech, because it's the same problem. The Alter Rebbe says it's not a problem, because there you're not saying it in the same part as you mentioned Malchus David. It's in the same bracha, but it's in a different section, so therefore that's not a problem, and in fact, on Nusach has brought in Hayyim Yoyim, and then as you see in the Siddur, is in fact that we add, that we put in the word Melech. It seems that in earlier printings of the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, in fact, it was missing. The Rebbe Rashab, I think, added it based on this discussion, and that's how we say it. Anyway, so the question is, Kibla Mine, or like Kibla Mine. Well, Rabbi Yosef really is pointing out an objection to Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Did Rabbi Akiva accept that objection and change his mind about what the two thrones are for, or did he not? Toshma, so we can prove from another, but I said the Tanya. Echad the Din, the Echad Tzedakah, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says Echad Din V'Echad Tzedakah, which in the previous Braisa is what Rabbi Yisraeli said. So we see that Rabbi Akiva, yes, changed his mind and accepted Rabbi Yisraeli's version of the explanation. Omelo Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, but Rabbi Loza ben Azariah doesn't like that either. Not a problem of Shechina Choyl, obviously, but he's saying, he says, Akiva, and this isn't the only place he says it, he has this expression in other places as well, Akiva, Malach Eitzah Agadus, what are you doing with Agadta? It's not your strong point. Kloch mi dabri sefer, he's his father of Rabbi Akiva, you can talk to him like that. Go away from your speaking, Kloch is short for Lech Lecha. So stop talking in Agadta, the Lech Eltzah Negoim Ba'olos, and go deal with Negoim and Olos, which are complicated areas of Halacha. Those are your specialty, that's where you really shine. But in Agadta, Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying not so much. So I don't accept your explanation, I don't accept your explanation of Agadta. In fact, Ion Yaakov says he's kind of saying to him that now the fact that in your first drosha you did, like Rabbi Yosef really says, and you made Shechina Choyl, you need a kapara for it. So therefore, I'll like you should be learning the going ball. This is a kapara for what you were saying. Ella, Kaleich, I guess, is the proper. I don't know. Usually, when people learn Gemara, they usually say tzloch, but one Hadal. I mean, it means cease. Yeah, Hadal Midrash, cease your words. Yeah. Yeah, finish, yeah, cease, yeah. But, so Kaleich, you're right, it could be Meloshim Kaleich, but I think there are Rishonim who explain that it's short for Lech Lecha, go away from yourself, whatever. Anyway, Ela, Echad Lekiseva, Echad Leshrafya. Rather, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the two thrones, or the big throne and the small throne, are one for Hashem's own throne and one for the footstool. Kisei Leshavolov, the throne Hashem himself is sitting on, Shrafraf Ladoim Raglov, and then you have the footstool, exactly, you have the ottoman, so to speak, or the like for Hashem to rest his feet on. Meaning, in other words, that there you go. There's the big one and there's the small one. The point of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's objection, Maharsha explains, is that, So if we say, like Maharsha says, that it's a big throne and a small throne, then Rabbi Yosef Levi says that is saying, you're making Shechina Choyl, they have to both be talking about thrones that Hashem himself is using. So Echad the Din v'Echad the Tzedakah, but then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, what does Tzedakah have to do over here? The whole point of that vision of Daniel's is the Din that the Eved is doing for the Goyish wicked nations. So it's all one din, but then you have the kise and the shrafras, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, koyama Hashem Hashemayim kisi, v'aretz adoim raglo, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So therefore, having a throne and a footstool there represents that Hashem is, so to speak, sitting on Shemayim and exercising judgment here on earth. So that's a picture of him on the Kisei HaKavod. Yeah, Rabbi Yisrael really doesn't have a problem with that. He has a problem with the boss of the dumb sitting next to Hashem. So that's why he says that it can't be that David HaMelech would be sitting over there. Again, as Ben Yoyada said, we're not talking about the actual boss of the dumb David HaMelech, but rather Spiritus HaMelechus, but. Yeah, obviously, but still. So we've gone now through the various psukim about the images of Hashem that the Nevi'im saw that seem to contradict one another. Now the Gemara is going to continue with more things of Ma'aseh Merkava, but first the Gemara is going to digress as follows. Before, when we were talking about the qualifications that a person needs to have to learn Ma'aseh Merkava, we said one, he said he needs to have, the Gemara had said that he needs to have five qualities. So now, after we went through everything else that we were discussing, now the Gemara takes some time to explain that pasuk and the surrounding psukim. So you have a section over there in Sefer Yeshaya where you have many harsh nevuos that Yeshaya says about the Jewish people. The Gemara in Bava Basra points out that Sefer Yeshaya is basically Kulei Nechemta. Most of it is Nechomos for the Jewish people, but nonetheless it does have its share of nevuos of punishment. So he also of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Yudches Klolis, killer Yeshaya Hanavi Yis Yisrael. Yeshaya Hanavi cursed the Jewish people at one point with 18 curses, one after the other, but his mind wasn't set at ease, until he tells them a 19th thing following it, Namely, the Pasuk says, after it lists, the Gemara is going to soon quote the Pesukim and explain what the 18 things are, but he finishes off. The Nigas Ha'am, the people are going to be very hard-pressed. Ish v'ish v'ish v're'ehu. Each person against, a person against another person, a person on his friend, everybody's going to be hard-pressed to find any good or any relief. Yuhavu Hana'ar Bazakin, the young men are going to pride themselves over the elders. V'hanikla, and the degraded, the nichbar, are going to pride themselves over the honorable ones. So when he said that, then that put him at ease. Why would that? What is Yeshaya out to curse the Jewish people, and he has to keep on going until something puts him at ease? So Marsha explains, because here we're going to have all these things that he's going to say are all going to be things. He's talking about that various great things, various great resources are going to disappear from the Jewish people. So it's a terrible thing. He's feeling very bad about that. Yes, he has to say the Nevuah. Hashem gave it to him. He has no choice but to say it. But Haytochen, what's going to happen to the Jewish people when they're missing all of these 18 things that he's going to, when all these 18 things that he's listing are going to be missing? Then he says this pasuk, and he realizes, wait a minute. When you have this kind of thing, that's one of the simonim of Ikvas and Mashiach. Well, then it means Mashiach is coming close. So therefore we have nothing to worry about. That's one explanation. A different other interesting explanation is that he's thinking to himself, you know, I'm spending all this time. He was the head Navi of the Jewish people for like 80 years, and I'm telling them over and over to do tshuva and whatever, and nobody's paying attention. Is there something wrong with me? Then he says this part of the pasuk, and he realizes, no, it's not dvorim ha'yotzim min ha'lev, but the part of the klala is just that people are not going to be paying attention to the ones they should be paying attention to. But it's two parts of the pasuk. The nigasa on ish v'ish v'ish v're'ehu esnachta. You have one narbazok and one nikla banich. The two halves of the pasuk. So it's a mistake. The comma is supposed to be before you have. So yudches klolus ma'inu. What are these 18 klolus? And by the way, Ben Yehoyada points out there are a lot of other klolus that Yeshaya says in his sefer. Why are we singling out these? He says because the other ones are all conditioned. Im tovu shmatem, he says in Perek Aleph, if you listen to Hashem and you do what you're supposed to, tuva arif techelu, the im taman umadisem, only if you're rebellious and you don't want to listen, then you're going to have problems. Whereas over here, he's saying these things that the Talmud Chachamim and the various great caliber people are going to disappear from among the Jewish people, and it's not even conditional. So therefore, the Gemara is calling them clawless in that sense. So the pasuk goes like this: Tichtiv. Kihinei ha'odin Hashem Tzvakas, the Lord, the Master, Hashem Tzvakas, Mesim Yerushalayim Yehuda, is going to remove from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda. So first we'll go through the Pesukim, and then first the Gemara is going to quote the Pesukim as they are, and then it's going to go through phrase by phrase and explain them. So we'll translate first on the simple level. Mashein, Hashem is going to remove a support, or Mashena, and a support in the feminine, so stronger and weaker supports. V'chol mishan lechem, every support of bread, v'chol mishan moyim, and every support of water. Poshikshat means it sounds like there's going to be a famine. He continues, Gibor v'ish milchama, that Hashem is going to make disappear the mighty men and the men of war. Shofet, the judge, the Navi. The Kosim and the sorcerer. Now, what's the problem with sorcerers being missing? That would be a good thing. Well, that's what the Gemara is going to explain soon. The Zokin and the elder. Sarchan, and then he continues in the next pasuk. Sarchanishim, the captain of 50. Unasuponim, and the one whose face is lifted, meaning that people respect him. The Yoyet and an advisor. The Chacham Charoshim, and a wise man of whispered secrets. Charoshim actually of Charoshim means more like a magic, but he's a wise person in hidden arts. Unavoin Lochash, and somebody who understands whispered things. Then he continues in the next pasuk. In Asaki Naorim Sarehem, Hashem says, "I will make young men will be their princes." We usually don't want that, like we said before. As far as Yoshev, you want to have an elder person, so you're going to have young, inexperienced people as their leaders. The Saalulim Yimshu Lubam, and Taalulim, with a simple meaning, means like Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, like mockers, like people who play around with people, are going to be ruling over them. So those are 18 things, one after the other, that he's saying of what's going to happen to the Jewish people. So now let's explain one by one what these things are. Mashein Eva Bali Mikvah. The first one that he says that Hashem is going to remove the support in Lashon Zohar refers to the people who are expert in Mikra, in Tanakh. Maharsha points out, because otherwise it seems repetitious. If it's saying Mashen or Mashena, why also mention Kel Mishan Lechem Bechel Mishan Moyim? Therefore, the Gemara is understanding that each of these Mashens, each of these Mashens, each of these supports is talking about a different kind, a different area of Torah. So Mashen Eva Bala Nikra, Mashena, the support in the feminine, means the ones who are experts in Mishnah. Kegon Rav Yehuda ben Beseira or Tema v'Chaveira. And an example of those kinds of people who are expert in Mishnah is Rav Yehuda ben Beseira or Rav Yehuda ben Tema and his colleagues. Maharsha explained, the vote is, Torah Shibachsav can be called Mash'ein in the masculine form, meaning a stronger support. A person can rely on Torah Shibachsav, and that's it. On the other hand, Mash'ein aloshin Nekeva, because Mishnah, first of all, is like a Nekeva relative to Torah. It's a Torah Shibachsav in the Zohar, actually. In the Zohar, Torah Shibachsav is compared to the father and Torah Shibal Peh, to the mother. That's, we have the expression, Shema Bini Musa Ravicha Val Titash Torah Simecha, and it's explained that it refers respectively to Torah Shibachsav and Torah Shibal Peh. But besides that, also, Mishnah is inherently weak in the sense that, at least from Tanakh, you know you're not going to learn halacha straight from Tanakh. So it itself is a self-contained thing. As opposed to Mishnah, we know you can't pass in halacha from the Mishnah. You need Gemara as well, and therefore Mishnah can be described with as a weak, feminine kind of support. Next. So by the way, when we're talking about Bale Mishnah, so how much, when we say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema were experts in Mishnayos, or Pligi Bar Rav Papa Rabban, Rav Papa and the Chachamim disagree, how much Mishnayos are we talking about anyway? One says that there were originally 600 Sidre Mishnah, and one says 700. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, was expert and knowledgeable in all of them. Now what happened? How comes it that we only have six Zorim? So one explanation is that originally, yeah, the Mishnayos were originally much more detailed than they are now. We have so many things that were relegated to Braisis that are quoted throughout Shas. We have so many things where the Amoraim have to struggle to understand what's in the Mishnayos. So originally there were actual Sidrei Mishnah that contained all those details. And then later on, because people couldn't learn that much material, then they condensed it down into Shisha Sedarim. That's one explanation. Another explanation is that originally there were six or seven Sedarim, according to the different opinions over here. We have Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. There's some evidence that Rav Margolius mentions in one of the Sedarim that one of the Shisha Sedarim that we have was originally split up into two. Anyway, so that would make seven. Anyway, the point is, there were 100 different versions of them. We know the Mishnayos that we have are mostly the Mishnayos of Rav Meir, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, but there were also Mishnayos that were taught by many of the other Chachamim. Altogether, there were 100 different versions of the six or seven Sidrei Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda ben Tema, Rav Yehuda ben Maseira, was an expert in all of them. By the way, the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya, in Igeres Chofei, that since those 600 or 700 still existed in the time of Rashbi, when Rashbi and Rabbi Elazar were in the cave, that's what they spent most of their time learning. The Alter Rebbe points out over there, in Igeres Chavod, rather, that can't be they spent most of their time composing the Zohar because there's not much material in there. It wouldn't have taken up the 13 years that they were there. Necessarily, they spent most of their time delving into these Mishnayos. It could be making Chazara, but there's only so much Chazara you can do. Talmud Chacham is expected to come up with new things also. But an interesting thing, by the way, in Shurim Sefer HaTanya, there's a footnote over there with Munkacher asked on that. Why? I mean, the same way as they could be learning the Shnayas and, as the Alter Rebbe says, being mefalfel in that, they could be doing the same thing. Yeah, they could be doing the same thing with the Zohar. And the Rebbe gives an answer, the gist of which is with Nigla, you have to have a lot of questions and answers about that. The Rebbe describes it. They wanted to Torah in order to peel away and get at the facts. Zohar, Kabbalah, and Pnimiyas HaTorah, on the other hand, is more straightforward, less common like Kusher, like Piruk. There's no questions, no answers. It's just a straightforward Kabbalah, which is why we call it that. And therefore, yeah, the whole material that comprises the Zohar, they could have gone through in a couple of months. With that said, by the way, there are Rebbes who say, I don't remember where this is brought, that the Zohar is actually only a small part of what Rav Shimon Yochai composed. There's something along the idea that he composed a separate Medrash, which is essentially what the Zohar is, Medrash on Pesukim, beginning, who's in each one titled with a title beginning with a different letter of the alphabet, and Zohar, which begins with Zion, is all that we have left. So according to that, there was more material, but still not necessarily enough that it would have been enough to fill up 13 years. getting back to the Pesukim, Kol Misham Lechem, when we say that Hashem is going to remove every support of bread, Eivu Balei Talmud, that refers to the people who are knowledgeable in Talmud, in the analysis of Mishnayos, to know how to, and now you can rely on them as much as you would rely on a supplier of bread that you can eat. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, the Torah personified says, L'chu lachmu b'lachmi, come eat of my bread, ushtu b'yayin masachi, and drink of the wine that I've mixed. So we see that Torah is compared to bread, in particular Talmud, which is the main thing that a Yid needs to know in order to know what to do and what not to do. Because from Talmud you extract the practical halachas, so therefore it's called bread, just as bread is the mainstay of what a person lives off.
Related to
Milchama,
the Milchama
of Torah? Lechem is related to Milchama because the Abenama, Pumchai, Balechol, a person eats, there's a battle going on with it, but yeah, it does also include the Milchama Shalterah involved, trivia. Next, when Yeshaya continues, Kel Mishan Moyim, that all support of water is going to disappear. What is water in this context? Now, of course, the Torah in general is compared to water, but now that we already mentioned Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, then what's left? So Elo Balei Agadis, this refers to the people who are experts in Agadah, and why is Agadah in this context compared to water? Because Agadah is very absorbing and it draws a person's mind and a person's attention like water. So again, Shia is saying that people who are knowledgeable in that are going to disappear. Gibber, then the next pasuk continues, the mighty man, Zebal Shmors, that refers to people who know many teachings of Torah that they learned from their Rebbeim. Rashi explains, Bali Shmuas means that he heard halachas psukas, the established halachas from his Rebbeim, and he knows them well. In other words, unlike the Bali Talmud before, who know how to analyze the Mishnayos and to be able to derive halachas from them, the Bali Shmuas are the ones who are experts in the, you know, to put it in modern terms, let's say they know the whole Shulchan Aruch by heart, and they can tell you over the halacha as it says in Shulchan Aruch. That would be Bali Shmuas. So they're compared to a giver the same way as a giver is capable of doing heroic feats, the same way a Baal Shmur, whenever you bring up a question, halacha to him, he'll immediately know something that's relevant, he'll immediately know the relevant halacha. Another explanation is the giver refers to people who overpower the Yetzirah. Next, Ish Milchama, the man of war, this is the one who knows how to give and take in the war of Torah. Yeah, Torah involves Mochama. There's a constant give and take. Again, you have Yilanda the Tovara to go through the questions, which are the Klipas Noga, and get to the answers. So that's the Ish Mochama that Yeshaya is saying there's not going to be Sif ones around them. Marsha explains the metaphor is an Ish Mochama is not a giver. He's not naturally strong and heroic, but he knows how to fight. So he knows tactics. He knows war tactics. So the same way, this Yadea list of Elitim, but Mochamta Shal Torah, he may not know so many facts of Torah. He may not be such a Baal Shmur, but he has the sharpness to be able to work to fight the Mochamta Shal Torah and come to the correct conclusion. Next, Shofet, when we say that a Shofet is going to disappear, now, it can't mean that all Shoftim are going to disappear. No matter what, even in the worst times, Jews always had Shoftim to judge. So it means that Dayan Shidon in Emeslam Mito. Yeshaya is saying the kind of Dayan who judges absolutely truthfully, that you're not going to find in this time that he's talking about. What is the double expression? Emeslam Mito, Tosfos discusses in a couple of places. Imagine, for example, Shidon din Emes is exactly that. He judges truthfully without bias and without anything. Emeslam Mitoi would be, for example, there could be a case that comes in front of the Dayan where on the surface everything seems to be very glatt. The Edom are saying what they're saying and everything, but the Dayan has the sixth sense, or the Finf de Shulchan Aruch, and he realizes that there's something wrong with what these Edom are saying, that they're not telling all the facts, or they're outright lying or whatever. A Dayan is done with Emeslam Mitoi is not just going to say, okay, well, you know, the Edom said, I'm going to pass in according to what they say. If there's any problem with it, then the fault is going to lie on them. No, he works on ferreting out the Emeslam Mitoi and figuring out whether what they're saying is true or not, and then doing appropriately. The Rambam, in fact, talks to the Rambam Square, has a whole parak in Hilchos Sanhedrin where he discusses this point. The Ikra Dini says a Dayan is allowed to, and even supposed to do that, to use his gut feeling when necessary, when he realizes that something's wrong with him. He says later on, but the Jinnim stopped doing that because after the time of the Gemara, you can't rely on such a thing. A Dayan could use that as an excuse to start injecting his own biases or whatever and say that I'm depending on my sixth sense or whatever. So that's the example of what Yishai is saying over here. Then former times, you had Dayanim of the caliber to be able to do that, and now we don't. Next, Novi Kamashmoy, when it says Neviim are going to disappear, means exactly what it sounds like, meaning that eventually there came a time when there's no Nevuah among the Jewish people. Kosim, what does it mean when the Pasuk mentions a Kosim, which means a magician? Now, if it just means exactly that, that's a good thing that there are no magicians among the Jewish people. Rather, Zemmel, that refers to a king. Shenema, as we find a Pasuk initially, Kesem al Sifse Melam, on the lips of a king is like magic. The mishpat lo yimal piv, when he judges, then his mouth never says anything wrong. In other words, like the king has a, almost like a supernatural ability to find out the facts, and it almost seems like he arrives at them by magic. In reality, Mephoshim explained on the pasuk what it is because a king, because he's a king, and everybody wants to be on his good side, so therefore we have lots of people all around who are ready to bring the facts to him behind the scenes or whatever, and therefore he has information that's not available to the general public. But you see, when he judges, like by Shlomo HaMelech and the two women, for example, it almost seems like magic. Like, how could he possibly have figured that out? So therefore, a king is called Kosim. Next, Zokin, when we say an elder, Zesha Roy Leshev Yeshiva, or the Yeshiva, means a Zokin, a Zesha Kona Chochma. So obviously it doesn't mean there's not going to be old people among the Jewish people. It means somebody who's suitable to sit and teach in a Yeshiva, there's not going to be. When we say a captain of 50. Now, the Gemara doesn't want to understand in the simple sense, Marsha says, because, listen, you have, by Yisrael and Moshe, you have Sorei Alofim, Sorei Meyes, Sorei Chamishim, Sorei Asores, so why would we all of a sudden be taking the Chamishim that's in the middle of the pack over there? So therefore, the Gemara Daushins, I'll take with Sar Chamishim, I'll Sar Chumashim. Not a captain of 50, but a captain of Chumashim. Zeshi Adair Lisavalitin behave Chum Shetorah means somebody who knows how to give and take an argument in the Hamisha Chum Shetorah. Now, before we had at the beginning of the list, we had the Balei Mikra. Marsha explains the difference is the Balei Mikra are Baki in Tanakh, but they don't really know how to analyze it. The Sar Chumashim over here were saying they're not necessarily expert in the rest of Tanakh, but within the five Chumashim, which is after all where we learn the whole, where we learn all the halachas from, they know how to give and take and to analyze it deeply. And to understand where the halachas come from. Another explanation of it actually is that he knows a sar chumashim would be somebody who knows how to bring proofs from one area of Torah to a completely different area. We have all the time in the Gemara where the Gemara will be discussing, let's say, something in Dinei Mominos, and it'll bring a proof from something in Kodshim. You have examples like that in Shaila's Truvas throughout history. You look sometimes, for example, in Ramosha's Truvas, for example, and you'll find that he's in the middle of discussing something in Yerodea, for example, and he'll be bringing in something from Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. So that kind of thing is another meaning of what we're saying by Sar Chumashim. Next, Dover Achas, Sar Chamishim Kid Rababohu. Another explanation of Sar Chamishim is like Rababohu explains the Amr Rababohu, Mikan Shein Ma'amidin Turgman Al Tzibur, Maturgman Al Tzibur Pokas Nachamishim Shana. You shouldn't appoint that a Talmud Chacham, a Rosh Hashiva in those times usually would have a Turgman standing in front of him to repeat out loud and more clearly everything that he's teaching to say it out loud for everybody else. You don't appoint a Turgman for a Rosh Hashiva who's less than 50 years old. Well, there's a different explanation that some of Farshim have, means the Turgman himself should be at least 50 years old, with the idea behind that being that at 10 years old, Ben Esesron and the Mishnah, and he'll have 40 years because Ein Adam Omin Al-Das Rabbi until 40 years, so that way he's at least 50, and that way he knows the Mishnayos and the Braises don't. Anyway, the point is, the Sar Chamishim means that he's a Sar who's at least 50 years old. Nisu Ponim, when we say someone whose face is lifted, so it doesn't just mean somebody who's respectable, that you always have, Zeshim Nisim Ponim Ladore Ba'avur Lamaila, means somebody who Hashem shows favor to the whole generation in his schus to go into the Shenosim Ponim Ladore Ba'avur, that the whole generation is favored because of him. He's so great that because of him, either Hashem or Lahavdil, the kings on earth, respect the entire Jewish people because of him. l'mailah from Rav Chanina ben Dosa. An example of that relative to Hashem is Rav Chanina ben Dosa, where you have the Gemara that the entireness of the whole world is supported in the source of Chanina and in the source of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. L'mata to go to Abohu Beit Kesar, and down here on earth, an example is Rav Abohu when he would visit the palace of the emperor, where the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and in Ksubas that the women over there in one place it says Matriyasa, the noble women, in another place it says Amhasa, the maid servants anyway, would come out and sing a song in his honor, welcoming him as the shining light and the guide of the Jewish people. So in other words, the whole Jewish people were benefited, Lamata, that the emperor and his whole household respected Rabbi Bohu, and through him the Jewish people were able to get great benefits. So that's in the soup on him. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, on Sunday, Bez Hashem, with the rest of the list. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Tes Elul. The Pasuk says, we just actually talked about here, we just talked about the Alboim Shana, Einan Moimin Al Das Rabbi. So here, actually, today's Yom Yom Mashiach Gola is about just that. When the Hashem says, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, that I led you for 40 years in the desert, and Levoin Nasan Hashem Lachem Lev Al Das, Hashem doesn't give you a mind to understand until now. And Rashi explains, it means you haven't been able to recognize the kindnesses of Hashem and connect to Hashem, Adar Yemazeh, because a person doesn't fully understand his Rebbe's Das and the Chochma of his Mishnah until 40 years. Now that means we're not just talking about a boss of a dung, it also refers to Hashem. So that means that a 40 years has to do with a higher level, a more complete recognition of Elikus. The Rebbe was saying this on Parashas Eitzav, Tavshin Dalet Mem, which is 40 years since Rebbe Levi Yitzchok's Hesalvus. So then he continues that this realization, this understanding will be most complete in the times of Mashiach, when the Nigla Kroid Havaya, and when also the Torah of Mashiach, which is another meaning of Rabbe, will be revealed, and then we'll understand Soich Daita, full meaning, the full range of meaning of what Mashiach and the Chochma of the Mishnah that he's teaching us, that we'll be able to understand it then on a whole different level. Continuing with Halachas of Shabbos. You have a handkerchief that you're going to use to blow your nose. So what do you do with it on Shabbos? How do you take it around? So the minhag is that you put it inside that you wrap it around your waist underneath the waistband of your pants. And then that way, again, it's serving as a belt. You would have to be careful if you do that you're not making two knots in it, because then you can't do that on Shabbos. A Yoreh Shemayim could do another thing. Instead of that, his pants are going to be held up with this thing, he also, a man might well be wearing suspenders with his pants. And in that case, what is this handkerchief accomplishing? So a Yoreh Shemayim, he says, would take off the suspenders, and that way the mekpachas, that way this handkerchief is actually serving a purpose when it's holding up that it's holding up the pants. Others instead wrap it around their neck. That would only be, for example, that would only work if, for example, you regularly wear a scarf or something like that for a cold, or in cold weather, and again, you have to tie it for heter. But to wear it, for example, as a shawl around your neck, that would be an issur gomer. In the same way, to wrap it around your hand and foot would also be osur. But for example, the Alter Rebbe adds, if you were to use, back when they didn't have, before they had elastic, you would have to hold up your sock for the garter. If instead you're going to use a handkerchief for that, then that would work. I don't know anybody nowadays who carries handkerchiefs, so I'm not sure how relevant this halacha is nowadays, but if you do, then maybe you have the details.